I don't know with what kind of power the Spirit of God will allow me to preach with tonight. And I don't know exactly how you're going to receive what is said. I asked the girls today at the house, I asked Kaylin, I said, "Do you want Papa to preach a sugar stick tonight?" She said, "Uh-huh." And I asked Kelsey, I said, "Do you want Papa to preach a sugar stick?" And she said, "No." I said, "Do you want a mean one?" She said, "Uh-huh." But I don't know how the Lord will deal with your heart. But if I can say what I want to say tonight in the right way, and if the Spirit of God will do in your heart what I would like for Him to do, I really believe this could be one of the most important messages I've preached in months, if not years, to our church. Because I believe I'm preaching right where some of you are living. And I believe if you'll pay attention and listen carefully to some of the statements that Brother Hall is going to make, and it's not a hard message, it's sugar stick, seriously. And if you'll listen to some of the things that I've got to say, I believe with all my heart that it'll help you more than any message I've preached in a long time. And if you've got any help in a long time. Amen. But I want to ask you to turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And when you find your place there, you can stand with me. And for the sake of reading, I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye be in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer and pray for me tonight. My eyes are not doing too well, and the lighting up here is not either. So I need your prayers, okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God that we've read tonight. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the great truths that we find there. I thank you, Lord, for the cross that you gave your life upon for sinners that we might be saved. Lord, that we might not only be saved, but we might rejoice in what Christ has done for us. And Lord, that we might have that abundant life that you've promised. We thank you for your suffering. Thank you for the agonies you endured upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your people and them being here. I pray tonight that you'd bless the preacher. I need divine wisdom. I need guidance by the Spirit of God through the text that you've given. I need understanding. I need power. And Lord, I need liberty to preach. And I pray that you'll still our hearts tonight, even the little ones. Gather our attention upon Thee. Help us to focus our thoughts upon Christ tonight. Be attentive, Lord, to everything that is said, everything that is preached, and especially to listen for that still small voice that comes from Thee, that some might be saved and others might be stirred in their heart, find help by the good grace of God. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 6 again tonight as our text verse, where Peter writing said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." There's two words there I want to call our attention to tonight, and that is rejoice, and then the word heaviness. And I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of the paradox of joy and heaviness. That is, how can a child of God have joy being saved by His grace and at the same time experience heaviness or a heavy heart or difficulties and troubles in their life? Now, when Peter begins this chapter number 1, he begins by dwelling upon our future glories, or the future glories of God's grace. Amen. And then the apostle turns his attention to the power over the believer's present life. He says in verse 6, "Wherein we greatly rejoice." Notice the first word, "wherein we greatly rejoice." The word "wherein" refers back to what has already been said in this chapter. And so we're able, church, to rejoice in what Peter has already written in chapter number 1. And I don't have time to cover it in its entirety. We'd be here all night. But I do want to recap it just a little bit. And don't get too bent out of shape on this first thing. But I believe he's talking about, number 1, our election by the foreknowledge of God. Anybody that is truly saved by the grace of God has been elected. Amen. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon sometime in his ministry how he could tell if he was in the elect. And Mr. Spurgeon made the statement, said, "Sir, you've asked me a question that neither you nor I, neither one, can answer. But," he said, "this one thing I do know, that you and I are both sinners, and Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you'll trust Him, that will make you one of God's elect." I've heard Harold Sattler say this a number of times, and I can't explain it. Now, he couldn't, and you can't either. But I've heard Dr. Sattler say a number of times that maybe when we get to heaven, there may be a writing over the door that says, "Whosoever will." And when we step in and turn around and look back, it will say, "Elect from the foundation of the world." Now, I don't understand that, but I do know that there is the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Amen. And no man's ever been saved apart from both of them. Amen. You never got saved unless God came to where you were as a sinner and convicted you of your sin. Amen. And yet you never got saved unless you believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that is it right there, in believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to rejoice tonight in the fact that we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I'm amazed nothing has ever escaped the mind of God. And it doesn't trouble me at all to believe that God knew the ending from the beginning. God knew how things were going to end before He ever started this thing. If He didn't, He could not have ever written the book of the Revelation, but He did and told us exactly how things are going to end up. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to say, secondly, We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. My goodness, I'll tell you, we can rejoice therein because we have been begotten again unto a lively hope. We were created once, but thank God by the grace of God, we've been recreated the second time. Old things have passed away and all things have been made new. We are brand new creatures in Christ. We have been recreated in Him. We're new creatures. We ought to be able to rejoice in that. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. In what? In the fact we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Secondly, that we have been begotten unto this lively hope. It's not a dead hope, praise God, it's a living hope. We live like we have a dead hope, but I'm telling you, our hope tonight is a lively hope. Son, it's alive. Hallelujah to God tonight. Our hope's alive because we're alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but when Christ passed by on that wonderful, glorious day, whenever day or night it may have been, and quickened us by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. He begot us again into a lively hope, and we're alive in Him tonight. Then I want to say thirdly, because we have an inheritance. That's right. Now, I told the kids the other day, I don't have much. I'm going to leave them. They don't have much of an inheritance with me. But I'm telling you, we have got a great inheritance in Christ. And the Bible says that that inheritance is incorruptible. If all I did was leave my kids my house, they wouldn't have much. That's about all my mommy and daddy left us kids besides memories was a little four-room house up in Indiana. And I drove by it the other day, and it's got green moss growing on the top of it. The foundation, never it was built, never it wasn't on a foundation, it was on columns. They put a little block foundation around it. The foundation's falling out and under to where the grass is about that high and the windows are rotting out and the doors are falling off. And I tell you, the little old house is in a mess. You know why? Because it's corruptible. And if that's all my mom and daddy had, that's all they could leave me. But I'm telling you, all they had to leave me was that which is corruptible. But I'm glad, thank God, that He has left us an inheritance that is incorruptible, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. There's nothing that will ever corrupt in heaven. Not one thing. It is an incorruptible, beautiful city that God has reserved there for you and I, a mansion built in glory. He said it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. There's nothing that can defile it. There's no sin there. There's no time there. There's nothing there. There's no unregenerate men there. There's nothing there that can defile that holy city. And He said, that fadeth not away. Now, I've already mentioned that to some degree. But here's one of the greatest parts. The fact that it is reserved in heaven for you. And I won't say when you get there, you won't be disappointed. Mrs. Hall and I got to our little retreat in Helen, Georgia, and I'm going to have to admit, with green flies flying around in the living room, I was a little disappointed. That's right. But I'm telling you, and it was reserved. Oh, it was reserved. Sitting there waiting on us. We did have a black dude in our parking place, but I guarantee when you get to heaven, there won't be no black dude in your parking place. And there won't be any green flies flying around in your living room. Amen. There won't be any fog on your patio doors either, by the way. No, sir. And you're not even have to worry about checking in. He's already got you checked in and got you reserved in that place. Wherein rejoice in these things. Hallelujah to God. We act like we have nothing to rejoice about, but He said you can rejoice in these things. Amen. Now stay right with me for just a moment, please. I want us to distinguish something tonight. I want us to distinguish carefully between happiness, and here's where some of you are hung up. Distinguish between happiness and joy. Amen. Happiness and joy. Happiness depends on what's happening. Right. Somebody said, what's happening, man? Whatever is happening is what makes you happy. Come on in the house now. Happiness depends on what's happened, and it is connected with a life and with circumstances. But joy is underneath and independent of our circumstances. The joy that Peter is writing about here is dependent upon its own self. It does not depend upon the circumstances and the happenings that you're involved in life. He said, wherein we greatly rejoice, but if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that our joy does not depend upon the circumstances that we're living in. We can rejoice and have a heavy heart all at the same time. Hallelujah to God. Amen and amen. No need to have the blues all the time. Is anybody listening to me? Now listen very carefully. Joy is underneath and independent of circumstances, and is a condition of man's soul in relation with the Lord. If your relation to the Lord, I didn't say relationship. I'm taking it at the fact that we all have a relationship. Amen. That we're His children. But I'm talking about the relation. The relation. Come on in the house now. My wife and I have a relationship, but our relations all the time is not in the best rapport. I'll tell you that right now. We're human just like you. Amen. And come on now, somebody say amen. Amen. You have a relationship with your wife, but you would have to say amen to this, that it's not always hunky-dory in the household. Things are not always how you would want them to be in the household. That relationship does not change, but relations can change, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, the joy that Peter's writing about here depends upon your relations with Him. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. How is it between you and the Lord? I'm going to tell you why we're not rejoicing is because we don't have the right relation with the Lord. That's right. We've let things come between us and Him. We've let the dark shadows of the day overshadow the brightness of His glory. We have let the troublesome times blind our minds to the glories of His grace. Amen. We've allowed difficulties and circumstances to cause doubts to arise in our mind that overshadow the glorious grace and salvation that God has provided for you and I. Amen. Is anybody listening? I hope so. Now listen possibly. Listen if you possibly can. Therefore, it is possible to be joyful within, even when circumstances without are difficult. We can be joyful even though circumstances, even in circumstances, we're unhappy. That's a paradox. But I'm telling you, there's a truth there. You can be joyful and at the same time be unhappy. Because the circumstances are controlling your happiness, and the Lord controls your joy. And there's a great difference there. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. I'm fixing to prove you a liar if that's what you just said. Because the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You know what I said? Oh, not always, always. In fact, all the time, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the word always means. We're sorrowful, but we're all the time rejoicing. Oh, now if you can get a hold of that tonight, it will change your life. I'm telling you that there is troubles in our life, but thank God, because of our relationship with Christ, we can have the right relations with Him, and that will bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is anybody listening? Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things.
Yep.
That's one of our problems right there. Right. We want to possess all things and don't have enough sense to realize we do.
Amen.
They're ours.
Yep.
Somebody said, when am I going to get them? In the inheritance.
Yep.
Do you have the patience to wait? Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but our Lord had the patience to wait.
Yeah.
Now, I guarantee if we got the patience to wait, we'll realize that we are poor, but yet we possess all things. Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ to all things that are His.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're heirs of all things. I just read the other night where He owns the earth and all things that are therein.
Amen.
Now get a hold of that one. He owns the earth and everything in it.
Amen.
And He knows exactly what little trinket it is in this earth that it takes to pull your right chain to make your heart jump up and down.
Right.
And He's able to give us that when our heart gets thoroughly right with Him. Praise God, I'm going to tell you some of the hardest times I ever went through in my life when I didn't have anything. That's right, of this world's goods, but I knew I had Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was all that mattered as long as I had Him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now listen carefully. I want you to please notice also that rejoicing is without limit, wherein you greatly rejoice. He doesn't put a limit on it at all. When you like to have a bank account with no limit,
amen.
Sure you would. We'd all like to have a bank account without a limit. Well, your joy is limitless.
Amen. Amen.
Wherein we greatly rejoice. But it's not that way with heaviness. Heaviness is only for a season. It's not going to last forever, ladies and gentlemen. If need be, that's what it says. If need be, rejoice, though now for a season, if need be.
Amen.
You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad that it's just for a little season and then the heaviness passes by? It's just God's simple way of saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the dark clouds are not always going to be there. The sun is going to shine again. There is a brighter day up ahead. There is a better day coming for the child of God. And I don't think we have to wait till we get to the other side. Amen to have it, because He's talking about rejoicing right now in this life that we're living in.
Amen.
I'm trying to help us. Listen carefully. Listen to me. Even the best... Hey, Brother Jerome. Even the best men cannot always live in the sunshine of hope. The Christian on earth can hardly fail to be in a mingling of joy and happiness. We live in a world that is full of sorrow. Now, it may not have affected you today, but I guarantee you, somewhere in this world today, in America, probably thousands of people made a trip down to a cemetery.
Amen. Right.
Amen. And the majority of them went down there with loved ones that they could have no hope in.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we live in a life of sorrow.
Amen.
I think of Brother Robert back there, getting ready to go through all this stuff with his ear. And that surgery, and all the preparation for it, heart casts, echograms, EKGs, I'm talking about
Even the embarrassment of having to take off your clothes in front of that crowd. I never did enjoy doing that. And I know there is anxiety there about what's going on. And I know there is probably anxiety in the hearts of the family. They don't know what's going on either. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying these things can drag us down and give us a heavy heart. But thank God, down underneath of it, there's joy for the child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now hang right with me. And it's only for a season. It won't be long, Brother Robert, you'll be have that thing behind you. It's a season. It'll be past. You'll be like a young mare let out to pasture. Well, I don't want to say a young mare. I say a young stallion. Well, I don't even want to say that. What I want to say. Got my foot in my mouth and don't know how to get it. Don't know how to get it out here. But it's a season. It'll pass. It'll pass. And whatever is making your heart heavy tonight will pass.
Amen.
Whatever has crept into your life and brought you sorrow will pass.
Yes.
It's just for a season. But underneath of that heaviness is a constant flow of joy from the hand of God.
Amen.
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 Stick right with me. Our joy is a sign of a life of faith. A life that must be tested.
Amen.
As in the case of Peter. Peter was tested. Peter's faith was tested. Things wasn't always on the downhill drag for this apostle.
Amen.
He had some hard knocks in life, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And God, in fact, the Lord told him, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Amen.
But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, I got on that ottoman tonight and I pray for some of you in here.
Amen.
In a special way that your faith would fail not.
Amen.
But that God would open up that spring, that artesian well of grace that is down in your soul, and let that well of grace swell up on the inner man and bring that joy out in your life that God wants you to have.
Amen.
Amen. Now stay right with me. Three or four simple little old things that in this testing of faith. While we can have joy while we're in manifold temptations. Number one, the assurance that it is testing and not punishment. And it's not destruction.
Right. Amen.
If you know you're saved.
Amen.
If you know you're saved and your heart is right with God. You've got an assurance. You can rejoice in that.
Yeah.
You've got an assurance that it's not, God is not punishing you. And whatever's taking place in your life is certainly not going to destroy you.
Amen.
But whatever God's doing is for your good and God's glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Assurance. Amen. Assurance that God's not punishing you.
Amen.
I don't know, when I was a kid, my daddy looked at me and said, come here, boy. I gritted my teeth. Because I knew most of the time what I was going to get. I was over at the house today. I was playing with them two girls. I looked over at Kelsey. I said, Kelsey Faith, come in here. You know what? She thought she was going to get something. I just put my arms around her and hugged her. I said, can Poppy have a kiss? She said, not on the lips. But you should have seen that little face light up when she knew, when she had the assurance.
Amen.
That my call to her was not for punishment. And what joy it is when God calls us aside.
Yes.
To be tested and tried, and we know that it's not there for punishment.
Yes.
But it's there to bring good and blessing and health to our Christian life. To uncover the reality of our salvation and the joy that's put there by the grace of God.
Amen.
And to know it's not for destruction.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He doesn't save our life from destruction, We ought to have enough assurance to know that God's not going to destroy us in whatever He's doing.
Amen.
That's right. He's not going to destroy us. I got to get back here, work and read. Hang with me. Number two, assurance that God is watching the process.
Amen.
And regarding it as a precious work of refining.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Steve told me today, he said, Brother Hall, I got enlightened yesterday when I left here. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, I turned over on that outfit down by the lake and said, Ed wanted me to listen to a piece of equipment they were using the air on. And said, I turned over that and said, Edgar Pascoe was on there. I forget what he said the name of the program was. But he said he was preaching on, said, Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees, had seeking faith. 41 years later, he was saved and had saving faith. Said there's a difference between seeking faith and between saving faith. And I said, that can't be. It says by faith, he left Ur of the Chaldees looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
So that initial act of faith had to be a salvation. Brother Steve said, do you reckon that could be talking about sanctification? I said,
Amen.
41 years of sanctification.
Amen.
Oh, what assurance we have that God is watching the process taking place in our life. And ladies and gentlemen, it is no more than the refining of our lives and the sanctifying of our lives and making us a holy vessel that's meet for the Master's use. I want to say thirdly, assurance that the finished design presents a more clear and spiritual view of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I said I hope some more have to go slow sometime. You need to get a hold. When there is heaviness in our heart, and I'm going to explain it. I'm going to show you the difference in the two in just a minute. When there's heaviness in our heart, we need to understand that through that process, God wants us to see Christ in a more concise way, a clearer way, have a better view of Him. You know, it's kind of like when you look through a set of binoculars. You ever look through a set of binoculars, man? You look out and it's kind of blurry what you're looking at. You turn them binoculars a little bit and what you're looking at comes into focus. But what I'm telling you is that when we're first saved, we see Christ on the cross. But the light that He has for us is like looking through a glass or looking through a set of binoculars that's not quite clear.
Right.
But I'll tell you, when He begins that sanctifying process on our heart and life, and we begin to travel through those stages of heaviness and out into the sunlight, every time we do, God brings us into a clear view of the Son of God. We understand Him in a better way. I'm telling you, thank God, I'm glad I understand more about Him today than I did 30 years ago.
Amen
to God. What a great God we have. And understand more about His love and mercy. About the fact that He loved me when I was unlovable. Amen. When He found me under a dunghill and saved me by His grace.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen carefully. If we never suffered heaviness, we would begin to grow proud and become too great in our own esteem. In heaviness, we often learn lessons that we could never attain anywhere else. I want you to listen to what Martin Luther said. Now, I don't want a lot of people got different things about Martin Luther, thoughts about him, but listen to what he said. Martin Luther said, affliction is the best book in my library. And the best page in the book of affliction is the blackest of all the leaves. The leaf of heaviness, when the Spirit sinks within us,
and we cannot endure as we wish. You get a hold of that? The best book, he said, I got in life is the book of affliction. And the best page in it's the darkest one. But I'm telling you, hey, we're not like our forefathers. When we fall into that dark page of life is when we start fretting and worrying and frowning and get all bent out of joint and act like God's left us and deserted us and don't have enough sense to realize that God's watching all the time and has got His omnipotent hand of mercy on us, guiding us gently and lovingly through it all.
Yeah.
By a hand of mercy. I don't know about it, leave me. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, mariners tell us that there are some parts of the sea where there is a current upon the surface going one way, but down in the depths there is a strong current running another way. You say amen to that, Benny? Benny and Angie like to drown because of that. They got out in a bay down in Mexico, and the waves coming in, but an undercurrent pulled them out. And they like to drown. Are you listening to me? Two seas do not meet and interfere and not interfere with one another. But one stream of water on the surface is running in one direction and another below in another direction. The Christian life is like that. On the surface, there is a stream of heaviness rolling with its dark waves. I'm about to run my head through a wall here. But down in the depths, there is a strong undercurrent of great rejoicing that is always flowing there. On the surface, ladies and gentlemen, on the top, there is a heaviness. Heavy waves, dark days, but underneath it all, praise God, there's another current running. That's called the current of joy. And that joy brings peace to our life, knowing that God, amen, that God is in control of our life. Let the storm clouds rage. Let the storms around us rage. Songwriter said, lightning flashing, thunder crashing, something like that. My whole life out of control. Is that how you feel like? Your whole life out of control? Your service riding. I'm going to say this, I'm going to get in my scuba dive a little bit.
Amen.
Praise God, get down where? Get down under, in the deep water. It's down in the depths of your soul and your heart is where that joy of the Lord is at, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And praise the Lord every now and then it ought to spring up.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to preach something that you think I've already preached, but I've not. The purpose of heaviness. I've got 3 points and I'm done. The purpose of heaviness is to keep us from sin. They surround us like a hedge of thorns. Heavy days surround you like a hedge of thorns and keep you on the right path. We're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Listen to what Hosea said in Hosea 2:6. Therefore, behold, he said, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that you shall not find or pass. Now I'm telling you every now and then, when our God, and by the way, come on in the house now. God knows your heart and God knows my heart. You might be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, if you only knew how many times you might have kicked out on God if it was not due to the fact that God had a hold of your heart down below the surface where you're not even aware of what God's doing in your life. I've heard Steve testify, I don't know how many times, my son-in-law. About every time, every meeting, I remember around, and he's up. He said, God knows I wanted to leave out in Fort Baptist Church. A lot of times said God wouldn't let me. And he probably wanted to leave more times than that, and God wouldn't let him. He didn't even know it.
Right, yeah. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, oh, I don't believe that. I search the hearts and I try the reins. What the Lord said. I'm telling you, He's set in on your heart. Oh, yes, God's got a hold of your heart. And He's kept you stable when you wanted to kick out and you didn't even know it. If some of you get on this altar and confess it tonight, you'd have to tell God and tell the rest of the church, I want to leave, but for some reason I just ain't been able to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's God down underneath got a hold of your old heart and won't let you go, friend.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You ought to rejoice in that.
Yeah.
To know that God is in control. Somebody said, oh, I'm running things my way. Hogwash. If you was running things your way, you would have been in hell a long time ago. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is in control of your life, friend. Thank God I'm glad He is. Amen. Especially sometimes when I'm driving at night, you don't know how glad I am He's in control. Son, I see taillights 10 feet long. Traffic headlights as big around as a moon. I'm serious. You can ask my wife. I've just about had to stop and have her heart checked a number of times. Call 911, had to resuscitate it a few times on this last trip. We can just be driving along. She'll say, don't you see that car up there? No, I don't see the car. I see taillights about that long. But I can't tell how close I am to Him. I'm glad He's in control, friend.
Amen.
He's not my co-pilot.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
I'm glad He's got us hedged in.
Amen.
Amen. To keep us from sin. You might be surprised at the number of times that you were tempted to sin.
Amen.
Through manifold temptations. Tempted to sin. But something on the inside said, you know, you just can't do that.
Right. Amen.
Oh, yes. But you ought to rejoice in that. Because I'm telling you, if God ever took His hand, you hear me well.
Amen.
If God ever took His hand off of you and me that are saved by the grace of God, we wouldn't be a bit better than that crowd out there. We'd run to sin just as fast as we could get to it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for a covenant on the inside.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for one that's called alongside to help in a time of trouble.
Yes,
and He's a present help in trouble. Yes, bless yes, His holy name. He's a present help for all of us when we're in trouble. And He'll grant us help if we want that help.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know I'm telling you right. I hollered like that the other night. And Angie said, Kelsey said, Poppy's mean. I say, secondly, the purpose of heaviness is to humble us. You know, we got a proud nature.
Right.
Every stinking one of us got a proud nature.
Amen.
And when things go real good for us, guess where our head's at? About that much higher than the clouds. Oh, yeah, I've been there and done that. Get a few dollars in her pocket and we get black man rich. I'd like to use another word there, but they won't let me. Al Sharpton get word of it. Jesse Jackson, I'd go to prison. Hate crimes, you know. I don't mean nothing by that. But I'm telling you, we get a little bit of money in ahead and get a little money in our pocket. But and we'll get our head up in the clouds and we'll think we're something and somebody. We'll get the idea nothing can bring us down.
Right.
But I'm telling you, God pulls us down with troubles.
Amen. Amen.
Heaviness. God can pull your head down out of the clouds back to the earth where you belong.
We're not in heaven yet. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. What, Peter, what this same man I'm writing about tonight.
Right, amen.
I'm going to say number three, to make us holy.
Amen.
Listen carefully. To scourge off the rust, to purge out some of the remnant of the old man. Sorry, but he's still hanging around there a little bit. You've still got the capability of sinning. Right. You've still got the flesh.
Amen.
That's right, ain't it?
Amen.
And to renew the inner man. Notice what Isaiah said in Isaiah 4:4. When the Lord hath washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Somebody said, oh, Lord, don't judge me. I'm telling you, hey, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. But I'm telling you, if you don't judge your sin, God will judge it for you, buddy. And God knows how to purge it with a spirit of burning. You ain't had trouble till you've seen God get on your case.
Amen.
Some of you think Brother Hall don't know what he's talking about. Some of you young kids think it's just a joke. But I'm telling you, you let God, I'll guarantee you that one of his little fingers is heavier than anything you've ever heard from me, friend.
Amen.
He knows how to get your attention real quick. I know people God's put on their back where the only way they could look was up.
Amen.
To get their attention. And if you think it's bad, you being on your back, you wait till he puts his hand on one of your loved ones.
Amen.
See if God can't get your attention that way.
Right.
And if God don't get your attention that way, chances are you're a reprobate. I can't for my life understand why it don't humble us to see our loved ones and our families in the mess they're in life.
Amen.
And see ourselves in the mess we're in. It does not seem to humble us at all.
Amen.
Amen.
God can get her attention.
Amen.
Say number four. You know another reason that he does it to prove the devil is a liar. Better believe it. Somebody said, what do you mean? What about Job? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job?
Right.
Have you looked at old Job? Took a good look at him? Devil said, I sure have. The Lord said, there he is. Have all of them you want. Now I'm telling you, the devil couldn't get him down. And God made a liar out of the devil.
Yeah.
Said, you've got a hedge about him. Pull it down. See what he does. God pulled it down. He still maintained his integrity. He said, skin to skin. Said, touch him. See what he does. God said, touch him. Everything but his soul. Everything but his life. It's all yours. Touched everything on him but his life. And old Job still didn't wilt under the pressure.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, read chapter number 41. And I believe that God, I don't have this. I don't have any backup for it. But I believe Jesus got right up in the devil's face and said, yeah, I told you so. God will let you go through that heavy time of your life and bring you out with the joy bells ringing just to prove to the devil that he is a liar and to prove to you, that the devil is a liar and the father of it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, not only the purpose of heaviness, but the power of joy. You realize how much we talk about power, power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. You realize how much power there is in the joy of a child of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you have proof of that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was it that made him endure the cross? Heaviest time of his life.
That's right.
Amen.
most difficult hour in his life when he faced the cross. But he endured the cross. And for what reason? The joy. Oh, there's power and joy to help you endure, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, I can't make it. Oh, yes, you can make it. Praise God, you better believe you can. The joy of the Lord will help you. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the joy of the Lord. It'll help you endure things you don't think you can get through. I don't know how many times my wife has told me, I don't see how people endure the loss of a child without the help of Christ.
Right.
I'm glad, thank God, I have never witnessed that and hope I never have to. Somebody said, oh, when you get older, it won't make any difference. I believe it would. Yeah, I believe it would. It's not natural. But mommy and daddy's supposed to go before the children go.
Amen.
All right, listen to me. Miss Austin told me a number of times, I don't see how people take it. I don't see how they stand it. I don't see how they endure it without Christ.
Amen.
It's hard enough to endure with Christ, folks.
Right. Amen.
Come on in the house. But I'm going to tell you, that time of heaviness, even through the loss of a loved one, just for a season, just a little while, and it'll soon be gone. God wants to help somebody in here tonight.
Yep.
Oh, yes, God wants to help somebody in here tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
You can endure what you're in. If you let the joy of the Lord unleash in your soul,
yep,
or just realize that it's there, you're looking at service problems rather than on the current that's flowing beneath all that.
Amen.
Amen.
It's kind of like a house. Brother Steve, Brother Robert back there has built a lot of homes. Did you ever go by any home, Brother Steve? Did you ever go by any of these homes that them tornadoes tore down? You see any of them, Brother Robert? How about a house, though? You been through any, Brother Sheldon? You see any of them had the foundation tore up, too? I'm talking about the woods. I'm talking about the concrete slab and all. It ain't going to get it up. They're not going underground, folks. I'm telling you, the devil can't get underground. Your problems cannot get underground. They run on the surface. They can't get underground. The storms may howl on the top, but they can't get underground.
Right.
If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? They're not going to be destroyed. They can't be. Our foundation cannot be destroyed. We're on a rock. Hallelujah. Praise God. The storm clouds may rage and the waves may beat against us, but they'll never move the rock. They're not going to move the church. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Now, the power, you can endure it. You can endure it. Joy will enable you to endure the heaviness. I won't say, thirdly, the product of joy. The product of joy. Nehemiah said, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. That looks like what I've been doing. Drink the sweet.
Amen.
Well, don't we all like sugar sticks?
Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Right.
Go your way, eat that fat and drink the sweet.
Yeah.
And send portions. Be a cheerful giver. Send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry.
Amen.
Don't be sorry. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. The product of joy is strength.
Amen.
And I want to say again, strength and power are two different things.
Yes, sir.
Strength, hey. Strength is like an ox. He moves slow, but he just keeps on pulling.
Amen.
We may move slow sometimes, but joy will just keep you pulling.
Amen.
When the load gets heavy, be like that little old burro. He might be stubborn sometime. He might walk slow, but he stays under the load.
Amen.
Till his master uncinches the load on his back and gives him rest.
Right.
And I'm telling you, not being heaviness now, but it's only for a season.
Amen.
It's only for a season. Jesus is going to take the load off our back and give us rest. I'm not talking about when we get to heaven either. I'm talking about now.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Product of joy is strength. Then the person of our joy. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. I'm going to ask you something tonight. Does Jesus still stir your heart?
Amen. Amen.
Or have you got cold and stone and hearted and calloused?
Amen.
I'll guarantee you, if you listen to what I said, and some of you in here tonight are experiencing heaviness.
Amen.
Your faces tell me so. Your countenance tells me so.
Amen.
And I look at you almost three times a week and it tells me so. I'm here to tell you that surface,
right,
there's a river flowing underneath.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I'll try to close if I can. Brother Robert, you ever drill a well? Why'd they drill a well for? Why didn't they just get it off the ground? Wasn't none up there, was there? Do you understand that underneath this earth's surface, there's rivers of water flowing all through this earth's surface? I'm talking about everywhere. Some of them a little deeper. They say in Arizona you got to drill 74 feet to hit water. 74 feet. Around here, I don't know what it'd be. Well, you have to drill 12, 15, 20 feet maybe at the most. 80. Good night. You got a big in there, buddy. You ain't going to run out of water there. Some may be deeper than others. I've seen men dig wells back home where I'm from and the well not be over 12 or 14 feet deep and hit water in it. Springing water, springing up. But every now and then, and you got to dig. That water's there, you just got to dig to get it. That joy is down there, you just got to get down there and get it. But you know what? You know what? I can take you out to the old Grider place. You don't know nothing about the old Grider place. I can tell by looking at your faces. But I can take you out to the old Grider place right now and go off around the curve, and there's a house built there now. And probably shoot me if I went out there. But I could go around that curve to the left, and then instead of going to the left, just go off to the right a little ways down over that hill. And back before I got there, my daddy used to live there with his daddy. And right around that, down over that little hill, there's a spring. And that spring was always running when I was a little boy. We'd go out there and rake the leaves off of it, get us a drink of water. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying sometimes God shows grace.
Right.
Woo! What a thought. When that well of joy, it's a flowing down here, every now and then Jesus will say, "Stop right there a minute and surface."
Amen, preacher.
You'll catch up by slow freight after a while.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Jesus knows how to bring that depths of that well of joy and grace to the surface.
Yep.
It'll be a well of water springing up in your soul.
Yep. Yep.
Everlasting life.
Yep.
What about it tonight? Are you in heaviness? Surface stuff. There's another river flowing this way. Your troubles may be flowing this way. There's another river down here flowing this way.
Right.
And it's this up here is for a season.
Right.
When the season ends, this one's going to turn its direction. Come to surface.
Man.
How about it? Anybody got a heavy heart? Our altars are open. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I've done my best to preach to you what God's laid on my heart.